Grab your Bibles, and we've been following what the angel said to the shepherds in Luke 2, where the angel came down and had this pronouncement of fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So we've looked at what Christmas has to do with our fears. We looked at what the good news was last week. We're looking at good joy this week. We're going to look at what it means for all the people next week. And we're excited about Christmas. It's a big deal around here. I love Christmas. And I love Christmas that has, in a way that has nothing to do with Jesus. Like I love cookies. I like presents. I like, you know, eating and food and family, and like just the holiday itself on a secular level is a pretty good time. Like I enjoy that. Not so much the Hallmark movies, but it's a great time. I love Christmas in a way that has nothing to do with Jesus. And for a lot of people, that's what this holiday is all about. Right, the Hallmark movies, the tradition, the candles, the Christmas tree, the presents, the family gathering. And as fun as all of that stuff is, if that is all that it's about, then you are missing out on a depth of celebration that we want you to have. And we're going to talk about joy this morning, your joy. Today we're interested in the increase of your joy. In fact, Jesus was interested in your joy. There was a time in the Gospel of John when he quotes Jesus saying, "Listen, I'm telling you these things because I want my joy in you, and I want your joy to be full." Like he's looking at our joy. It's like, okay, you need more than what you got, and I have a joy that you need, and I want my joy in you, and I want your joy to be full. And who's not interested in the increase of their own joy? Like, I have not run into too many people. It's just like, we've got enough joy here. We're done. We're full. Like, we want the increase of our joy. And we all look for it, maybe in Nissans for some of you. It's last week. You had to be here last week. If you missed it, you missed it, right? But maybe, as much as all of us want joy and look for it, maybe for some of us in here, it feels like we've lost our joy. Or maybe you live with somebody that you think has lost their joy. Now, don't look at them. That would give it away or nudge them, right? Just yesterday, Marcy, my wife, asked me, how am I doing? And not like, how are you doing? Like, that would have been fun. but it was more out of concern, like, hey, how are you doing? And you just seem down, and then she kind of said, "You're supposed to talk about joy tomorrow, right?" Yeah, I'm working on it. Like when you feel like somebody has stolen your joy, or something has stolen your joy, how do you steal it back? Like if you feel like, yeah, I've lost my joy, or I'm struggling there, how are we supposed to pursue it? Where does real joy come from? And I'm not talking about happiness. Like, happiness is kind of connected to circumstances, and it can go up and down based on your circumstances. And I got the promotion, I'm happy. I lost my job, I'm not happy. My team won, I'm happy. My team lost, I'm not happy. Like, it's so dependent upon circumstances. That's happiness. Joy is transcendent of circumstances. It's despite my team losing, true story. You know, you still have a joy in your heart. There's something, it's deeper there. Joy is a less fragile happiness. Right? Like your happiness can be broken if your circumstances get dropped or changed or in a bad way. But despite your circumstances, joy is tougher. Like it weathers that and it lasts through that. So where does somebody get joy like that? Where does somebody get an indestructible joy? Where do we find a peace like that? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 2, and we're going to try to answer that question. Luke 2, and we're building upon last week, so if we kind of pick up where we started, and maybe you feel like I'm not quite with you, go back online, see what we talked about last week. We're just going to keep marching through this and build upon it each week. But we're going to be in Luke 2. Now, if these passages, if maybe you've never even read them before, if you've ever seen Charlie's Brown Christmas, they may sound familiar. Here we go, Luke 2, starting in verse 8. It says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear.
And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And that's the pronouncement. And then I'll take you one verse further than what I planned, because this is what he tells them. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And we spent most of our time last week talking about that passage. And what we kind of walked away with is when it says, okay, what is the good news? That's the good news. That Christ the Lord is a Savior born for you. And that statement is loaded. Like Christ, this anointed one, the promised one, the King, the Messiah, is the Lord. Like he is God himself that comes down as a Savior, as a rescuer, and he is born. He went to incredible lengths of humility for our rescue, for our saving, and he did it for you. Yeah, that is praise God. That is good news. Now, what we need to know today is our great joy comes from that good news. Or you can put it this way, our great joy comes from God's good news. That is joy-producing news. And sometimes if you just think about the power of news, good or bad, like sometimes you just get new information that changes everything. Like the power of truth communicated as news has tremendous implications to our life. There's a story of some soldiers, American soldiers in World War II that were prisoners of war across enemy lines in Germany. And kind of behind this gate, the guards would look at these soldiers day after day and see just depression and sickness. And they were just, I mean, they're prisoners of war. They're captured. They're in despair. But one day, they write about noticing a difference in these soldiers, that they're laughing, that they're kind of high-fiving, that they seem joyful. I wonder what happened. Well, somebody had snuck a radio into the prison, and on that radio, they heard about the pursuing march of victory to end the war. Like that news that they got, even though they're still in that prison camp, changed everything in their mood. Like that, a power of information. Now, their circumstances hadn't changed yet, but they had good news that got to them, that impacted them. And when you look at this story for these shepherds, what's changed? I mean, they're still shepherds, like low-class people in society. They're still under Roman oppression. What's changed for them? I mean, a baby's been born over there that you're not related to. Okay, that was a little bit of a downplay. More than that has happened, right? An angel of the Lord has communicated to them some new information, some news, and that news changed everything. Like what got proclaimed to them is this announcement of God's care, provision, and salvation for them, even them, the shepherds. Like that news got drafted into their lives, and that changed everything. But this Messiah that he's talking about is a baby. It's a baby. And we don't even know how old these shepherds are. It's like, are they even gonna live past his teenage years? Are they gonna see the salvation that this Messiah brings? I mean, this is still just a someday rescue, right? I mean, this baby wasn't born with sword in hand. Like, I'm getting a baby army, and we're gonna go to, you know, this is not how it unfolded. It's just a baby, and it's still just a someday rescue that they have faith in. But even though it's just a someday rescue, they have joy in that moment. They have joy then. And see, what we need to understand is this joy, it wasn't the final results of salvation that produced this joy. It was the news of a coming salvation that produced that joy. And that is important to understand when it comes to answering this question. How does that news produce joy in you? So this becomes more than just a story that we read about in the Bible or a story about we read about somebody else's joy. How does this news turn into your joy? Like for you personally, how does this land in your heart? How does this news, this story produce joy in your life? That's what we want to understand. And here's the answer to that question. It's not that tricky. By believing it. By believing it. For these shepherds, their great joy came from believing God's good news. You see them embrace this. Look at verse 15 and 16. If you jump on down, this is what happens. It says, when the angel When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." Not this thing that he said has happened. No, it happened. Like, you see their faith now. Let's go see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. So they're in a hustle here. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Like, you see their faith. You see it in their actions. You see it in their emotions. They believed what was proclaimed to them. And they said, well, let's go see this. And with haste, they hustled over there. Maybe they got there and they had an awkward visit. It's always awkward going to the hospital and visiting somebody with a baby, even if you know them. It's like, yep, that's a baby. Best of luck. Like, how long do you stay? What do you bring? I mean, these people don't even know. It's awkward for us. It's like somebody in your congregation had a baby. Should I see them? I don't know. Anyways, they go. If you had a baby recently, super happy for you, okay? This isn't just any baby, though. So they go to see this baby. Perhaps Mary's got to deal with some strangers that are asking to hold her baby. They're saying some wild things. But they go, and you see their faith. You see their faith and just, like, leaving their sheep on a hustle to Bethlehem to check this out because they believe what was told to them. Now, can you imagine if they heard this pronouncement from the angels and didn't go? Like, if an angel shows up in glory with a host of other heavenly hosts, but, you know, singing glory to God and giving this announcement, and then they just kind of disappear into heaven, and the shepherd, you know, turns to his other friend, Bert, and like, wasn't that nice? And then they just kind of go back to herding sheep. Like, that, I mean, that would be, you'd think the angel would show back up and like, did you not hear me? Like, God in flesh right over there. Like, you're expecting a reaction to this because of the news demands a response. It's that kind of news. And you see their faith. In fact, check out their trip home. If you look down at verse 20, it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen and has been told to them." So something was told to them, and they heard it. They embraced it. They believed it. They pursued it. They saw it, and they had a confidence in this. And listen to me, faith is the key to joy. Faith is the key to joy. Now listen, your happiness may be connected to your circumstances, right? And it'll go up and down based on what kind of day or what kind of week or month or year you had. But joy is connected to your faith. And even if your circumstances go up and down, by faith, if your faith is anchored in this good news, then so will your joy. By actually believing this good news, it is key to our joy and our peace. And you see this reinforced in another part of this story. Look at verse 13 and 14. So then suddenly, this is kind of after the pronouncement, and suddenly there was, with the angel giving the pronouncement, so he got joined with some other angels. So suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace," this is where it might get tricky, "among those with whom he is pleased." Now it's like, whoa, is he pleased with me? Like, I don't know. Is he? Have you ever felt that way? Like, does God like me? I mean, is he pleased with me? Am I doing enough to please God? Like, when he looks at a lot of different people, there may be some that's like, not pleased with you, not pleased with you, pleased with you. Like, you ever wonder, like, how do I please God? What type of person is God pleased with? I mean, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And we talked about that more last week, but even if you missed it, you know that about yourself. I mean, we lie, we're greedy, we're insecure, we're selfish. None of those things sound pleasing to a holy God. And if he's giving peace to those who he's pleased with, how are you supposed to please a holy God? How are we as sinners in need of a Savior going to please a holy God? And that is a question that when you look at the Bible as a whole, you get some answers to. In fact, in Hebrews 11, there's a passage, I think it's verse 6. We got it up on the screen. So Hebrews 11 is like, it talks about all these people that have faith. And there's this passage in that chapter that says this: "And without faith, it is impossible to what? to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Isn't that what the shepherds are doing? Like, they believe he exists and they're seeking him. They're going after him. And we find out in here that what you need to please God as a sinner is faith in him. Faith in him that believes he exists, yeah, but leads you to seek him. A faith that says he's better than everything else around me, like he's worthy to be sought after, and your faith and your value of what you see God is evident in your life. That pleases God. So what we find out here is faith is key to pleasing God, and pleasing God is key to your joy, because God is the giver of joy, and he's ready to give this joy and this peace with those he's pleased with. All right, I love how Romans puts it. This is Romans 15:13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. So he's the one doing the filling of the joy and the peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So he provides the peace. He provides the joy. And it's through believing. Guys, I don't know where you're at when it comes to faith in Jesus, but I'm telling you, believing God's good news is the key to joy and peace. There is an emotional return on faith. Maybe you don't think about it that way too often, but there is an emotional return on faith. And guys, listen, I don't want to oversell this. I am sure that these shepherds had bad days after this. I mean, they're still under oppressive government. They're still in a low class in their society. They still struggle financially. They still have their hardships. They're still in a sinful world. But they have a new way of approaching those bad days. They have a new way of dealing with those hard times. Because despite the bad days, they still have good news. And our great joy is not found or connected or rooted in our circumstances that may go up and down. Their great joy is not connected to their circumstances or their appearance or their income or their social status. Their great joy and our great joy is connected to our faith in God's good news. So whatever may happen to us, around us, we can come back to this good news and be like, okay, is this still true? Is Christ the Lord still a Savior born for me? Okay, good. I'm good then. Is he a better Savior than I am a sinner? Okay, check. My joy is good then, because it's rooted in that. Right? Is it still true that nothing can separate me from the love of God? Okay, great. My joy is fine then, because it's rooted in that. Right? Is it still true that he's coming back and he will wipe every tear from my eye and make all things new and there'll be no more sickness, pain, or death? Okay, that's still true. I still believe that. I'm good then because my joy is rooted in that. Like, that's where we need to find our joy. Now, I'm sure they had tough days, but they had new way of dealing with those. And when we get this, we know how to pursue joy, listen to me, even when we feel like we've lost it. Anybody been there where you just feel like, I just feel like I've lost my joy. I don't want to get up in the morning. I don't want to go to work. I'm short with my kids or my spouse. Like, everything's just kind of, you're just down. And it's the holidays, you know, this is the happiest time of the year, right? But actually, this is when depression spikes. And we're reminded of loved ones that aren't here for the holidays. We're reminded of financial struggles, that we can't get the things that we want. We feel this pressure of being happiness that we can't live up to. And we feel like we've lost our joy. But listen, when you feel like you've lost your joy, that does not mean you need to be lost. Stay with me here. Being down, yeah, join the club. Welcome to the world. But being lost means you don't know where to go. And if our joy, if our great joy is connected to God's good news, then we know where to go. We need to return to God's good news to rekindle our great joy. We need to return to God's good news in order to rekindle our great joy. We need to go back to what we believe. It's like, I believe that God is a better Savior than I am a sinner. I believe that Christ the Lord is a Savior born for me. I believe that nothing can separate me from the love of God. I believe He's gone to prepare a place. I believe He will return. Like, we need to return to those things that I'm going to believe, that I believe. So I'm going to use my faith to shape how I feel. Now, too often, we do it the other way around. We let how we feel shape how we believe. I feel alone. Therefore, I start to believe nobody likes me. I feel like a failure. Therefore, I start to believe that God wants nothing to do with me. And we let our feelings shape what we believe. It's like, nope, it's backwards. We need to let our faith shape how we feel. So what do I know to be true? Okay, yes, I have failed, but God's acceptance of me is not based on my performance, but it's based on the performance of Jesus Christ on the cross. So I can feel love despite my feeling of failure. Like, what do I know to be true? I know that Christ the Lord is a Savior born for me. I know those things. Let those things shape how we feel. We need to do the work of faith for our joy. What I mean by that is we need to mentally dwell on the truths of God to shape how we think and how we feel. It is what we do for the fight of joy. In Romans 15, that Romans 15, 13 passage, we have that up there. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. When it says believing, that word believing, it's talking about a continuous habitual action. That word is a verb. So it's telling it's an action word. It's an ongoing action. The tense of the verb means that you do it and it doesn't stop. Like, it's an ongoing action, or it's describing an ongoing lifestyle of believing. So in our daily fight for joy, the question that we need to ask ourselves, let's get practical a little bit. Like, how do I fight for joy? All right, the question that we need to ask ourselves is, am I believing this good news? Like, now, today, currently. Not did I have a moment in camp in junior high, or do I just kind of mentally agree with that? But am I believing this good news? Like, I know you believe it, but are you actively believing it now? Like, do you confirm it? Is it shaping your emotions? Is it shaping your actions? Is it shaping your feelings? And because if you're honest with yourself, it may be like, yeah, I know you believe it, but you're not acting like you believe it. You're acting like you believe the lie more than you believe the truth. You're acting like you have no value. You're acting like God is, like, you're acting like you're a greater sinner than God is a Savior. Like, you're acting like there's no hope. So are you being shaped more by a truth you're embracing or a lie you're embracing? Like, it gets practical. It can't just be like, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe. No. Are you in this moment when you're fighting for your joy, able to come back and be like, nope, this is true. I believe this. I am actively returning to this and believing it. So let's just get practical. If you want to rekindle your joy in your life, then you need to return to God's good news. You need to mentally dwell on what you believe until it shapes how you feel. If you just stay there and think about it a little bit. Am I a sinner? Yeah, we can think about that for a long time. But let's stop thinking about yourself for a moment for your joy. And let's think about who God is and what He's done and the implications to your life. And you root your joy not in yourself and your own performance, but in Christ and what He's done and what He's promised. Like, we need to do the mental work of kind of stop playing over in our head our failures and our hardships and get our minds to Christ, to His good news, to rekindle our great joy. So if you're down, yeah, join the club, but don't be lost. When you're lost, you don't know where to go, and we know where to go. We go back to God's good news. And in that, in dwelling on God's good news, it rekindles our great joy. And too often, it feels like, and this is true for all of us, we're hungry for real deep joy and peace and a contentment in our life. And too often it seems like we settle for a kind of surface happiness. that doesn't satisfy or it doesn't last. Like when we're down, we don't return here. We don't return here and dwell in this. We come home and we're like, I had a bad day. I want to order pizza, right? Or let's just binge watch a show. Or I need a beer. Or I just want to, where else can I just find my joy? And listen, I'm not saying having a beer or watching movies or ordering pizzas. There's anything wrong with that. But if you're trying to find joy in that, then yeah, you're going to come up empty-handed every time. If that's where you go to when you're down, if that's like, I'm going to go here to feel better, right? Then you're never going to be satisfied. When we're down, we need to come back to the source of strong, lasting joy. It's God's good news. But when we miss that, we're like kids that keep snacking, right? And they're like hungry 10 minutes later, you got kids, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, well, all you're eating is chips and cookies. Like, you're just going to keep getting hungry. Like, you need some substance, right? And when we're down, it's like, you need some substance. Like, the truth of God that will satisfy and answer the hurts in our life. That's where we find joy. I was, my middle daughter, Johnny, she had to do a speech at school. It was called an optimist speech. They're supposed to give a speech on where they find their joy and optimism. So I'm like, well, if there's ever a lob to share the gospel in school, it's like, there you go, sweetie. So she did this amazing, totally biased father. She did this amazing speech on finding her joy in Jesus. And we went to perform, or it was perform. They like judge it, and I'm a father sitting in the audience, and she's just dropping J-bomb after J-bomb. I'm like, you can feel everybody uncomfortable, and I'm like, yeah, go, right? She's just boldly proclaiming. And she didn't place. You get your scorecard back, and she scored high on everything except content. Which is, oh, good, laugh at her, you know, it's like, no, I'm kidding. Her pain, and she's having a hard time on the drive home, and like, sweetie, like, you didn't give that speech to get a good grade. Like, you gave it to share the gospel, and you just shared the gospel with so many people. I mean, that's awesome. So I'm trying to do that encouragement to her, but my dad bone is like, them judges and I are going to have some words, you know, like, content. But in that, you can't just leave when your kid's done. You got to listen to every kid. That wasn't meant to be funny. That was just the reality of the situation. So I'm listening to the other optimist speeches, and great, great speeches, but the source of their optimism and joy was really interesting, because it was like my home. When I come home, that's when I feel happy and I have my joy back. Or my mom's cooking makes me feel better. And I just, like, in a heartbroken kind of way, just wanted to be like, wait, time out. Are you telling me that if you lose your home, that you have no hope and joy left in your life? Are you telling me that when you don't get your mom's cooking anymore, that you will be hopeless and joyless and have no sense of optimism in this life? I mean, we have got to have deeper roots of joy in our life, because storms will come from all different directions. Can your optimism, can your joy withstand life? I mean, it's like asking the question of like, hey, what's awesome about Christmas? And we can all give speeches. If you give a speech only about Christmas cookies, I love cookies the next is the next man, probably more, right? But if we don't get to Jesus and joy, then we have a surface level joy, and it will come and go on December 24th to 26th. Like when the festivities are done, so is your joy. We have got to have a deeper rooted joy. And do you notice in this pronouncement what kind of joy the angel is talking about? It says, "For I bring you good news of what? Of great, great joy." And that Greek word for great is megas. It's where we get the word mega. And I'm here to bring you mega joy. Not like joy, the kind you get with sprinkles, right? This is better than mom's cooking joy. Like, I'm bringing you some mega joy. And listen to me, in this life, in this sinful world, in this broken place, to get through this, we have to have mega joy. Mega joy. Like a deep-rooted, bring-on-the-storms type of joy that will weather and last no matter our circumstances going up and down. Because another thing you notice in this passage is that great joy took the place of great fear. Let me read to you again. It says, "So the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with" what? "Great fear." Mega fear. "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy.'" Mega joy. And their great fear got replaced with great joy. I mean, you want to look at your own life and be like, how do I deal with great fear? You introduce it to great joy. Like, and for us in here, I mean, it's more common than you may realize, but for those of us that would admit that we're struggling with fear, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of isolation, fear of loneliness, fear of health concerns, whatever it may be, or we're struggling with fear, you don't just get over that. Despite just saying, "Hey, suck it up." That is not how you deal with fear. And if you're trying to deal with your fear that way, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have good days and bad days, but your fear is going to stay with you. That is not how you deal with fear. You need a great joy to take down a great fear. Or as we see in this text, you need a great joy to replace a great fear. Because their mega fear went away when they had mega joy. And their mega joy was connected to this good news. This good news, the kind that can take down great fear. Because this good news is greater than your fears. Listen, your joy is connected to your faith. Your faith has more to do with your joy than you realize. And you can't just say, "Do I believe in Jesus?" You have to start asking, "Am I believing in Jesus?" Like, in this moment, this day, to the next day, like, am I finding my faith? Am I finding my joy in that? And these shepherds were told good news, and it brought great joy because they believed it. And you saw it in their life. You saw it in their pursuit to see this child. You saw it in their joy. You saw it in their praising. So I'm going to ask you, do you believe this? Do you believe that Christ the Lord is a Savior born for you? That you're a sinner, but despite that, God loved you enough to be born, and not just be born, but to die to save you. Do you believe that? Are you believing that today? Are you believing it today in a way that it can deal with your great fear? Maybe it's been something you agree with here, but it's never really got to here, to the place where it shapes your mood, where it stirs up joy, where it causes you to praise, when it shapes your demeanor, your life, your actions. I mean, maybe you have seen this as your way of salvation someday, but not for your source of joy now. I know Christmas is a busy, crazy time of year, and you got a lot going on and a long to-do list, but hopefully nobody's going anywhere in the next 10 minutes. And I want to invite you to just sit and dwell on God's good news. That this is your time to reflect on what you claim to believe in a way that stirs up joy. Then when the band's going to come and play, and you don't even have to join. In fact, you can just stay seated for the first song or two and just listen. Just you can read Luke 2 again. You can think about who Christ is and what he's done, and do you believe it, and are you believing it in such a way that stirs up joy from your salvation? And then when you're ready, you can get up, but don't rush. I want you to dwell on this. When you're ready, then you can get up and you can take communion at one of the stations as a proclamation of your faith. I do believe this. I do believe I'm a sinner. I do believe Christ's body was broken for me. I do believe his blood was shed for me. I do believe that he is a better Savior than I am a sinner. I do believe that he went away to prepare a place for me. I do believe that he's going to return. I do believe that he's going to wipe every tear from my eye and make all things new. Like, if that don't make you sing, right? Then we need your seat for somebody else. Like, just reflect on that. And here's the thing, church. This is a heart issue for us, but it's not just for us. Our joy in Jesus may be the best witness to a world that's looking all over for joy. Look what happens in verse 17 and 18. So the shepherds arrive. They believe this news the angel said to them. They show up to the manger, and this is what it says. And when they saw it, the scene of Jesus in there, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. So they like reported on what had happened. Like, you wouldn't believe this. Okay, we're just out in the field, and guess what shows up? We've got an angel floating in the sky. We had a whole choir behind it. This is what they said. It was crazy. Here we are. Like, they're just kind of reporting this. And then it says this, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Like, what the shepherds did, what they said, how they were acting, made other people wonder, who is this child? And you got shepherds just leaving their sheep, running over here to see this child, talking about an angel showing up, saying this is the Lord that was born and he's going to be a Savior. Like, their joy, their excitement, their faith, their actions made other people wonder. And church, I so hope when we talk about accomplishing our mission in this city, it has more to do with your joy than you realize. I hope that our joy in Jesus makes other people wonder. Because everybody else is out looking for joy everywhere else in this world. What if we could be a group of people that wholeheartedly believe that we found it, we found joy, we found peace, and it's in Christ? Then may everybody you live by and work with wonder, who is this Jesus? And maybe that's the joy I've been looking for. Let's pray. Father, I pray for myself, I pray for this room in these next coming moments, that as we sit and reflect and think about this good news, that by your Spirit you would stir up faith in us. You would stir up joy in us. You would stir up a faith in us that's pleasing to you. And that we would be pleasing to you in such a way that you give us peace. You fill us with joy. And that joy would be expressed in our worship and our life. And we would honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. We love Jesus. Amen.